Hey there, success buddy. Welcome to the Leaving Nowhere podcast with me, Candace Willey. I created this podcast for you. I've spent my entire life learning lessons the hard way. Through those experiences, I realized that all roads really do lead to success. Sometimes we just need better directions on how to get there. Join my guests and I in learning how Leaving Nowhere can help you get to exactly where you want to be. We'll share stories of success and the various methods we've used to help us get there. Let Leaving Nowhere be a compass in helping you achieve your greatest desires. So your journey to success starts here. Thank you for joining episode 4 of Leaving Nowhere. I'm excited to share some of the 10 principles for Leaving Nowhere that have framed up many of the experiences our guest, Jason Jones, has had throughout his life. Jason Jones is a filmmaker that lives in Dallas, Texas. He owns and operates On the Ground Designs. Prior to starting his filmmaking journey, he spent 22 years in the corporate loss prevention world. He was an executive for several Fortune 500 companies before moving into his content creator role. Creating inspiring content for the screen as well as social media is his passion. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hey, Candace. Thanks for having me.
Jason and I have been friends and professional colleagues for over 20 years. I have to say, Jason has never looked happier than he does now, or younger. When I think about the 10 guiding principles of self-awareness, education, and more importantly, values, you have certainly used these principles to serve you in your journey. Let's talk first about what inspired you to move from an executive position into a filmmaking role.
So thanks again, Candace. So it's an interesting journey. So obviously, I spent 20 some odd years in the loss prevention kind of genre within retail, which a lot of people don't really know what that is, but climbed the corporate ladder pretty quickly. And about halfway through my journey, I started having this feeling that maybe I should be doing something else. But my career was doing so well. Obviously, there was a huge financial impact. I had a family at the time and had everything that everybody else has that I had to kind of keep going. And it just didn't feel like the right time yet. But I knew there was something else out there. I just didn't know what yet.
So I'd really like to hear more about what you've learned about yourself through the transition of coming from corporate America into your own business.
Well, that's a hard question. I've actually learned a lot. The first piece is, a lot of the skills that I learned in corporate America have really benefited me in this new endeavor that I'm attacking with the whole film journey. Doesn't really sound like there's a correlation, but there absolutely is. How to interact with really people, how to do presentations, and how to convey my ideas to get other people to buy off on those. I learned all that stuff from corporate America, and I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have those skills that I learned kind of in those 20 plus years. The other couple of things that I've learned, I don't know if I was fully prepared for the amount of work that it was going to take. You know, I thought running my own business and doing my own thing would be a lot easier and a lot more rewarding. And it is rewarding, but it's definitely not easier. It's probably 10 times as hard to run your own business and to kind of start it from scratch like I have. You know, I think entrepreneurship is an interesting thing. You have to be a little off. You have to be a little crazy to try to go do your own thing. You know, how do you leave a, you know, $200,000-$400,000 a year job to go work 3 or 4 times as much and to make a tenth? So that's a pretty crazy thing. Not a lot of people will do that, but I think you get to a stage in your life where you know what you're doing is wrong, and you have to make a change. I think culturally too, a lot of things have changed, and it's more acceptable now for people to really just start over, almost, depending on what age, you know, you're at. We have a great culture, a lot of stuff going on recently, but there's a lot of benefits to that culture too that's a lot more embracing of you kind of chasing your dreams and your ideas, no matter how crazy they are. So it's been a pretty interesting journey for me so far.
You said a few things I definitely want to explore a little bit further. The first one really being about creativity, and you mentioned having great ideas. So as a content creator, I know inspiration is important to you. Is there something specific that inspires you or that really made you go down the road of photography or filmmaking?
Yeah, you know, I've always been what I thought was kind of a good just personal storyteller. You know, I'm kind of always the guy at the table that's telling the funny stories or elaborating and making people laugh and bringing people into the experience to help them understand kind of what I'm trying to convey. I did what I think is a really good job of that in corporate America, but in my personal life, I've always kind of been that guy at the table that tells all the funny stories and just brings people in. So that was really an interesting piece for me. I took some of those just natural personal skills that I think I developed through the years, and I used that in the storytelling piece. It's very interesting. So as a filmmaker, whether you do this professionally or you do this to get whatever message you have out there, you have to feel inspired. And for me, now that I've, you know, my company does a lot of commercial work, some of the stuff inspires me. I'll be honest with you, some of it doesn't. Some of it is just to kind of pay the bills. That was something I didn't anticipate. I thought, well, man, I'm going to go do my own thing now. I'm not going to have to do the stuff I don't want to do because it's my own business. Well, that's not the case. That's actually not the case at all. You're still going to go out there and do some things to just pay the bills. But I do. I have a lot of great clients. I appreciate every single person that reaches out to me for business. The clients I love the most are the ones that just come to me and say, do what you want to do. We've seen your work. We like what you do. Do what you want to do. And most of the people that come to me kind of have that explanation of, hey, we've seen this and we like what you did with this piece and we want you to do your creative thing on this. And for me, you know, either making commercials or films or whatever it may be, it's really about telling stories. That's it. So the same thing I use my whole life is kind of what I conveyed, you know, in this new career path for me. But storytelling is critical. It's essential. You know me, Candace. I've always kind of been the storyteller guy, and that's what I love to do. But now I have an opportunity to do it on film and share these stories with a much larger audience.
Well, what I know about you is you are a great visionary. And yes, you are absolutely a very effective storyteller. And I would also add detail orientation to that. So when you have all of those things and it comes together, you really capture the essence of what you're trying to communicate. So I love that. The other thing that you said that I want to expand upon is really the notion of working for yourself. So I know you and I have had a lot of conversation about how do you source talent and how do you continue to develop yourself in your career. Now that you're on your own, you don't have that feedback from the leaders that you work for or the people that work for you. How do you just keep yourself motivated and focused as it relates to working for yourself?
So I want to be one of the best, right? You know that about me. If I tackle something, I want it to be one of the best. I was very, very fortunate and blessed, and I was one of the youngest loss prevention directors in the industry. I made it 9 years, which is almost unheard of. So to land an executive role in 9 years from scratch is pretty unheard of. You know, to leave my corporate job and to launch a film within a year and a half after I left that, when everyone told me I couldn't do it and it couldn't be done, and everyone laughed at me and thought it was a joke, I just kind of have that in me. I want to be number one no matter what. Now, with that being said, if I see the crowd or a group of people doing one thing, I don't want to do it. I want to do something completely different. I want to pave my own road and pave my own path. Now, that's a difficult thing too, right? Because there's so many people out there that have done everything. So you always kind of emulate other people out there, but you try not to copy exactly what they've done. And that's what I do. So whatever I do, I want to be the best, or I just don't want to do it. That's just how I am. Am I saying I'm the best filmmaker? Absolutely not. I have a very, very long way to go. I'm very, very new to this journey. I love what I'm doing. I'm very blessed that people like to watch what I do and they're inspired by what I do. Sometimes I pinch myself when I see people watch a film or something that I made and they start crying. And I mean, that makes me cry, you know? That's the kind of person that I am. But that's inspiring to me. But I have that. I kind of have that in me. I remember one time when I was a director at a Fortune 500 company, my boss sat me down during my review process and told me, he said, you know what the problem is with you? I thought to myself, there's a lot of them, but which one is he specifically talking about? He said, you treat every day like it's the Super Bowl. You play to win all in every single time, every project, every presentation, every budget meeting, you play to win. And you can't do that. You can't try to overshadow people. You can't try to be the best in the room. So I took that feedback and I worked really diligently throughout the last 8 years of my career to not be one of those all or nothing kind of executives. And as I toned that down and calmed that piece of my personality down, I started doing even better corporate-wise. When I launched my own career here with the whole film piece and On the Ground Designs, it's the complete opposite. Every project I do, I treat it like it's the Super Bowl, and my clients love that. That means I have to work 4 or 5 more days on a project and I don't get paid for it because I didn't quote it correctly, but I know that little extra bit will make it perfect. That's what I do. And I really don't do it for the client. I do it for me. I want to be proud of my work. I want to be inspired. I want someone to see that and be blown away. Now, the clients, if they love it, that's awesome too. But I do it first for me. I don't do it for them. I don't do it for a paycheck. I do it because that's my work, my art, and I want people to like it, enjoy it, and be inspired by it.
So I love that. I think when you're so tied emotionally and personally to the work that you're doing, it really does mean that on the end, the product is just amazing. You shared a little bit about a project that you worked on, and I know you mentioned that people laughed a little bit when you said you were going to make a movie. So I'm going to just put it out there and ask for you to share what you feel like has been your greatest accomplishment to date. I'm going to guess it's a film.
Oh, you're going to make me share that story. Okay. So this is probably 4 years ago now. I'm in a pretty large executive leadership meeting in Northern California. And we had one of those kind of warm-up sessions where you go around the room, round table, and you talk about different things, right? What inspires you? What would you like to do with the rest of your life? And the question came up, what would you do if you weren't doing this? And I thought about it for a second, and it got to me, and I said, I'd be making movies. And the entire room laughed at me. And my boss at the time actually said, he went out of his way to make a joke of it and said, that's funny, and made all kinds of inappropriate comments and joked with me later and razzed with me. And he's like, yeah, you're never going to do that. And I thought to myself, okay, we'll see. We'll see. So about a year and a half after that, I was filming my first movie, The Nathan Hale Story. So I will tell you, probably not the right thing to do, but he was one of the first people I sent the movie to when it landed on Amazon Prime and iTunes and said, hey, remember we had that meeting? So should I have done that? No, I probably should have been a bigger person, but he went out of his way to almost make a mockery of me. And I thank him for that. And I really appreciate him for that because he gave me fuel. And people say, you know, anger and all these things, don't use that as fuel. Well, I use it as fuel, and it helped push me to make me better, and it pushed me to do it. So it was a pretty interesting piece. I got to say, it was pretty outstanding to sit in there. And, you know, we premiered the film before we launched it online and on Amazon and iTunes. We premiered it at a theater there in Louisville, Texas. And to see, it's funny. So they started playing the movie, and I can't sit there. I just can't sit. I get too nervous when people watch my work. That's just kind of part of who I am. So I sat in the back of the theater and almost kind of paced and watched an entire group of people in this room, 400 or 500 people, fully packed theater in the middle of a hurricane almost, watch this film. And I saw these strong, grown men, hardened, hot rod guys just breaking down, crying, watching this film. So it was pretty impactful to know that my work, my ideas did that. And obviously that's not my story. It's a great story. The core of that film is the story, Nathan, and everything that he went through and overcame and all that. But I brought that story to life on film, and I made it in a way that it triggered emotional responses in very, very hard, tough men to cry. And these are guys that don't cry, right? You know, the finger falls off, they put super glue on it, and they continue to go down the road. That's how they are. That's their mantra, right? But to make something that powerful that invokes an emotion like that and gets through all the, you know, all the muck to really hit somebody in their heart, I think that was pretty amazing. It was a pretty powerful thing for me to do. So I was pretty proud of that.
So interesting when you think about those things that motivate us or become our catalysts. And, you know, my mom used to say, after hurt comes pissed off. So I so much appreciate that you took a little bit of that pissed off and made it into something so productive. You know, I know personally for myself, I always was striving for success because I knew that was the best revenge. Matter of fact, I think it was Frank Sinatra that said that the most outrageous success is, or most outrageous revenge is success. So, you know, I completely appreciate that. If you look back to when you started this journey, and if there was anything that you wish you would have done differently, or you wish somebody would have told you before you started this journey, what would that be?
I would say family's number one. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. When I started this journey, and it started almost in photography, really, not the movie side, I put everything into not only my professional career, but then I shifted into this kind of new endeavor that I was working on. I worked diligently at night to learn the skill, learn the craft. You know, there's not many people out there that are just going to teach you those things. You can go to school and you can do those things, but I don't learn that way. That's not how I learn. I have to learn by doing and seeing and physically doing the whatever it is I'm trying to learn. I put all that stuff in front of my family, every single piece. I had two small children at the time. I put that stuff in front of my wife. I put that stuff in front of my kids. Luckily enough, they were small enough. They'll probably never remember those times, but I do. I do. And I think it hurt my marriage. Ultimately, you know, I went through a pretty rough divorce. There's always two sides to every divorce, right? But there's a large piece of that I own. But, you know, for me being the man in the relationship and the man of the house, you have to take care of your family. That's number one. And the marriage has to be right. And I put my wife second, maybe even third. And that was something that was a little tough, but I realized I did that. So I don't remember your question exactly, but if I had to go back and give myself some advice, I would say, hey, don't do that. There's nothing more important than your family. Nothing.
So that is such a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about next. And we'll come back and we'll touch a little bit more on your filmmaking and what you see for the vision of your company. But I know that the other two things that are near and dear to your heart are your family and your faith. I would love to hear a little bit more about how those two areas have influenced your choices.
So I'm an open Christian, and I don't hide that. I really don't. Am I the best Christian? No. I think part of being a Christian is a lifelong commitment to becoming a better human being a better person, and following the faith. So I will say I grew up in a very Catholic environment, very Italian Catholic environment. I went to a Jesuit school. For those of you that don't know what Jesuits are, they're the teaching arm of the Christian church. And I did that by choice. You know, I liked the discipline. I really enjoyed that piece of it, and I enjoyed that school, and I learned a lot. I've strayed from my faith here and there through the years. Some of those weeks, some of those months, some of those have turned into years. And during those years I've swayed from my faith, it's cost me. It's cost me a lot. When I put my own desires in front of my family, when I put some of my own wants instead of the wants of the greater good, I paid for those things dearly, and I know that. So my faith has played a very important role in my life. It guides me in every decision that I make. I don't make any decisions without, first of all, thinking about it and then really praying on those things. And until I feel a clear path to make a decision, I don't do it. I just don't. And, you know, different people have different faith. And I think faith is important. You don't have to believe in Christ. I hope that you do. But if you don't, that's okay. And you and I have had this conversation. I do think there has to be, you know, a higher purpose in life. What is that? I don't know. You know, you can, whatever you gravitate towards, I think it's a good thing. If it's Buddha or if it's Hinduism or whatever it is, I think there has to be something that you believe in greater than you. I think if you believe this is all by chance, I want to challenge that way of thinking. I don't know how that's possible. The odds of this stuff actually working without some divine intervention are near impossible. So my faith guides me and helps me through life. There's a lot of things I do really well, and there's a lot of stuff I still need to work on. But as far as helping people and doing those things, I work really hard to make sure I do that. And I run my business the same way. I've had a couple people tell me I'm not going to get that far in my film career because I'm an open Christian, and I'm okay with that. I'm definitely okay with that. That hurts my heart a little bit. It does. But I'm okay with that. I think we all have to have some guiding principles that are bigger than yourself help keep you on track. You know, if you think you can guide your life by yourself, look around. How's that working out? Not very well. Because you will. You'll harbor resentment. You'll harbor hate and all those other things. At least I did. And that faith for me helps me alleviate some of that stuff and helps guide me through things. You can say I'm wrong. And that's fine too. What's the worst thing that happens? I'm a better person to people. I'm nicer, right? I go out of my way to help people, and I'm a good dad to my kids and a good man for Jen. So those are things that guide me and help me be a better person. I think everybody needs something like that in their life. They need some central, whatever that may be. I'm not trying to convert anybody. You have to believe what you want to believe, but there has to be something else out there that's bigger than you and better than you that continues to force you to be a better person. And there has to be they call it a moral compass, right? My loss prevention cure, we talked about that a lot, is there has to be something that guides you. Because we all feel that, oh, let's just do this, right? it's an easier way to just make a bad decision or do this, right? A cashier hands you back, you know, they think you handed them a 10, but you actually handed them something else or whatever it is, and they give you $200 back in change. You know that's not right. You know that's not right. You got to give that money back. So it's a small example, but you have to do the right thing. You just do. That's why we're here. We're not here to make these bad decisions, hurt people and steal and do all the bad stuff we do. We're here to do the right thing. This is all kind of a test for us.
Thank you for being so vulnerable and truly sharing your sentiment around how having strong faith has given you direction in your family life, how it's made you a better man in the relationship that you're in today, as well as the example you'll lead for your beautiful two daughters. I know that just watching you over the years before you had children and even seeing you now, I see those principles show up in you all the time. I also think back at a time 20 years ago where you and I actually thought we had all the answers. Remember that? Yeah. And gradually over the 20 years, we've realized, boy, were we misdirected at that time. You know, I'm pretty certain we thought we could take over the world at that point, but recognizing all these years later that everything really does happen for a reason. And as difficult as it can be, and you know, you and I have had a lot of conversation about trial and error in both of our lives, if it's marriage, if it's job choices, if it's things that are happening to us through our family, you know, even my situation with my daughter and her addiction and how that's impacted me in the sense that really caused me to pause and reflect on what was my role in that, right? So I think of all those things when I think of what you've shared around family and faith and really doing what's right. So thank you for being vulnerable and sharing those things. So I'm going to tie it back because I want to talk a little bit more about where are you going? Like, tell me about what is your long-term vision for where you see On the Ground Designs going?
Wow, you're making me use some of my corporate strategy skills here, aren't you? Okay. So first and foremost, I want to continue to make films. That's important to me. That's probably number one. I want to make films and I want to inspire people. I'd love to get to Hollywood. Obviously, I don't know everything that it entails and all the obstacles that have to be overcome to do that. But so I'm realistic of that. And I do. And I do know some filmmakers. I know some pretty great filmmakers that have given me some really good advice. Some of it is some scary advice. So, you know, I hope I can make it there. I do. And hope is an interesting word. But my goal is to do that, is to make some big Hollywood stuff. Because I'm not going to say I think. I know I have the skills to do it. Do I have the contacts and do I need to continue to work on my craft to get good enough to get there? We'll see. But inspiring people on film is a big thing for me and it's important. And I'd like to put out a lot of great content for people to emotionally grab them. You're probably not going to see me make anything that's already been done. You're probably not going to see me make anything sci-fi. I want to make real, authentic, real people grabbing stuff that's going to pull out real emotion in you. That's what I want to do. That's the kind of stuff I want to make. I want you to leave the movie and I want it to sit in your heart or on your brain for a couple of weeks. And I want you to think about it. I want you to wake up and think about it. And I want it to invoke some kind of change in you in some way, even if that's one thing. You know, I used to speak, as you know, all the time in corporate America. And I used to say, I want you to take one or two nuggets away from the things that I say. Any single conference or meetings that you attend, you should always take one thing from that or two things from that and make that part of what you do. And it should make you better as a professional. It's the same thing with my work. I want people to take one or two things away from that. And I want them to put it inside their soul and figure out what that does and invoke some kind of emotion or really think about it. I've had some interesting phone calls from the film. You know, the film tackles addiction pretty aggressively. And the opioid thing is really we want to talk about a pandemic. I mean, this thing is bad. And it's affecting a lot of Americans. And it's not one race, color, or creed, or religion. It's all over the place. It's people in poverty situations, and it's people in the boardroom. So this whole pain pill thing and Oxycontin and everything else that's involved in it, it's a pretty serious thing that's not being addressed enough. And the emails and phone calls and the messages that I've received from people that are either going through it or currently still addicted to those things that have seen the film and decided to start trying to kick their addiction, it's pretty powerful. And that's the kind of stuff I want to make. Now, there's a caveat to that. You'll see me do some commercial work that probably doesn't pull at your heartstrings. Listen, at the end of the day, you have to be real, right? We all have the electric bill, right? And inspiration's not going to pay the rent. It's just not. You hope one day that it is. So I try not to do things that are too far away from what really I enjoy to do. So you won't see my company grow too much. I am at the crossroads right now, and probably the next, I would say 8 to 12 months, 16 months maybe, where I'm going to have to make some real decisions. I'm going to have to decide, do I grow this brand of mine, this company of mine, into a full-blown production company? You know, do I go out and really get the big loans, and do I step up to the big movie cameras and the cameras and the cine lenses and all that stuff? Do I spend a couple hundred thousand to get the equipment and then hire the crew that I need, as well as get the capital, and then go out there and really chase some of these big things and make big movies for people? Or do I continue to stay small and handpick these projects and bring on subcontractors and different people to do different stuff that I just can't do, because there's only so much one person could do at a time? So I have to make that decision. I don't have to make it today, but I'm going to have to make it at some point here in the foreseeable future. And I'm excited about that. It scares me a little bit, but it's also exciting because there's people now coming to me and asking me for advice, and I'm doing work for them. So it's a pretty great thing to see kind of this brand grow from nothing into something. And now it's paying my bills and I'm making a living from it. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to have to make that decision at some point with the brand, but under all of that, or on top of it, or on the side of it, or down the street from it, I want to make films. That's what I want to do. And it doesn't have to be in a traditional theater. It can be on Netflix or Amazon or iTunes or Hulu or whatever stuff is popular at the time. But I want my stuff to be seen, and I want to inspire people, and I want to keep getting those messages. I love those messages. When I get messages from people that I don't know that have seen something I've done, I like that. And I read and respond to every single one of those things because it means a lot to me. I know there's a lot of directors and people out there that I look up to. I've sent probably 400 or 500 messages to producers and directors where I just like their work, and I've probably heard from 2 of them. So that's a little disheartening, and I don't want to be that person. I want to be the person that responds to every single thing that comes in, if I can, right? I mean, it would be great if I was getting thousands a day, and I couldn't because things are going so well. But the whole point of it is I still want to inspire people, and for me, that's in a film. That's telling a story from start to finish and grabbing somebody for an hour and a half and tugging at their heartstrings.
So there is certainly a side of you that is so profound in the sense of just your human connection, Jason. Being touched by opioid addiction and what that translates to in not just how it impacts the life of the individual who has the addiction, but being that I was a mother of a child that grieved her daughter for years being lost to addiction, I commend you and I thank you for the work that you're doing to support those efforts, because it is tragic when you look at the cycle of what happens. And, you know, I look at my daughter and I just think constantly, if she didn't have the support system that she does, she would never make it. She just would have never made it. And it almost led to losing her. So, you know, first of all, just from my human side to your human side in my heart, to say thank you for that work. I would also say that it's so inspirational to hear the difference you want to make in people's lives. So I know you as this funny storyteller. So to hear you talk about connecting to people's heartstrings, I know that you do that through connecting to empathy, and obviously things that emotionally charge all of us. But I know that I can anticipate some funny things coming through in the work that you do. So, you know, I just appreciate the legacy that you're going to leave for people in the work that you're doing, and just truly appreciate it so much and can't wait to see the work that you're going to do. So, Jason, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, there is. If I could leave everybody with one thing, it would be inspiration in your own life. Life is hard, whether you're going through divorce or death or financial hardship or the craziness that is the race thing that's currently, unfortunately, happening. You have to find some inspiration and stay positive. You know, I have those people in my life. You know, we all have those movie stars and the motivational speakers and those kind of things. Whatever it is, gravitate towards people that bring positivity to your life. When my life really started turning around after my really rough divorce and everything, is I unfortunately had to eliminate almost all the negativity in my life. And that meant eliminating a lot of family members and friends that brought nothing but negative energy into my circle. That was hard, and it's still hard today. These are people that I miss that mean a lot to me because I grew up with them. And I just had to eliminate them. I watched Oprah speak on this one time, and it really kind of hit hard. And I find her very inspirational amongst a lot of other people. But she said, you have to eliminate these negative things. And I've done that. And I can't tell you how much better my life has been. You know, Jen, my girlfriend, has been one of the most positive influences in my life. I wouldn't be where I am today without her. And you have to bring those people into your circle. And if that means you have to completely change your circle, that's what you have to do. And don't give up. Life is going to throw a lot at you. That's what life does. Life kicks you when you're down. It really does. And it kicked me a couple of times really hard. It kicks you so hard, you think about, this is probably the end for me. But you can't let that happen. You got to dig deep. For me, that was my faith. And then Jen. So you got to figure out what that is. And you got to keep pushing and never give up.
I love your message. So as I've known you for so long, and first of all, I am honored that I get to still be a part of that circle, because you bring such inspiration and support and genuine love and honesty to every relationship that you're in, both professionally as well as personally, and just admire that so much in you. So thank you for sharing that message. Jason, what I would leave you with today is that I just truly cannot wait to see what the future holds for On the Ground Design, or you, or Jen, or the girls. And I am certain that your legacy in filmmaking is going to make a difference in people's lives, just like you've made a difference in mine. So friends, if you want to learn more about Jason or see some of his outstanding work, go to onthegrounddesign.com or follow him at On the Ground Design on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for joining our session today, Jason.
Thank you again, Candace, for having me on.
And to learn more about future episodes and to stay connected, visit my website at CandaceWilley.com or follow me at CandaceWilley on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Thank you for joining today's episode of Leaving Nowhere. Here's to you and you accelerating your life and career